Welcome to Martha Runs the World, a podcast with a new take on running, fitness, and all things health-oriented. I'm Martha Hughes, your host, and each week I present a new topic that is of interest to all runners. Hi, and welcome to episode 225 of Martha Runs the World. Thank you for joining me. Nearly half of all runners will get injured at some time in their running career. And today I'm going to talk about how to avoid a lot of injuries. Now, some injuries, I understand, are unavoidable. Accidents happen. Things go wrong. And there's nothing that we can do to stop that. But most are completely avoidable if we do a few things. These things are mostly common sense. And those that aren't, I'll give you a little guidance. Now, a lot of this stuff I've already covered, but I wanted to bring it together into one episode because, yeah, I've done a few episodes over the years, and I don't want you to have to go back and look at past episodes, and I have a little bit more information that maybe I haven't shared in those episodes, and, you know, things get updated, things change over the years. I'm not a personal trainer anymore, but I still have a lot of the knowledge that I have when I was once certified. I've been a runner most of my adult life, and I've already done a few episodes on strength training, and I did a bunch of new research for this episode. So, like I said, it'll be updated. There'll be some information that I didn't share before, so I think you'll find it interesting, no matter what kind of level of runner you are. If you're a beginner, there'll be stuff for you. If you're an advanced, you've been running all your life, and you do hundreds, you'll still find it valuable. Now, I'm not going to go too far into the weeds, but I'll give you some clear and easy guidelines on how you can keep your running going and have a very long running career well into the decades, barring accidents or other things that are beyond our control. We can't stop that. That's just how life is. I'll go over some basics first and then get into exercises and workouts that benefit us all. First, before I dive into the exercises, there are some lifestyle choices that we make that can help us hope to have injury-free running careers. It's better to help ourselves before we go running rather than to hinder ourselves, right? And why do I say running careers? Because our running is more than a hobby. It is to me. My running is my lifestyle. I love running. It isn't like collecting stamps. It isn't like going to coin shows or collecting things or buying stuff at auction. It's my life. Running consumes all my time and my physical body. It's way more than that. And even though we don't make any money at running, it's like a career. If you're going to ask me what I do, I don't want to talk about what I do for a living. I want to talk about running. And I know many of you feel the same way. My work that I do to make money so I can run isn't interesting. My running is interesting. This podcast that I don't make money at is interesting. So that's why I call it my running career. There are things outside of running in our general lives that we can do to help ourselves keep running. There are two things that are extremely important, and I know that one of them many people disagree with me, but I'm going to put it out there. It still is important. You may not think so, but it really is. All right. Now the first thing is good nutrition. I don't have to tell you this, right? I don't have to tell you that what you eat is going to be what you put out there on the road or the trail. You get out what you put in. You eat junk, you're not going to have very good runs. It may be fine for a while, but sooner or later, your running will suffer, as you will. I mean, health-wise, mentally, emotionally, everything's going to suffer if all you eat is junk. Good nutrition is one of the foundations to good running and a good lifestyle. It's all around. You got to eat right. Now, the second thing now I know many say sleep isn't that big of a deal and they give up on sleep because they have to fit everything in. But I'm telling you, I disagree, and lack of sleep will eventually catch up on you. We are susceptible to colds and flu and other things, it is because we don't have enough sleep. Running when you're exhausted could make your body more weak and make it easier for you to get injured. Lack of sleep is a real problem, not just with runners, but with our society as a whole. Getting a good night's sleep can start with us runners. Okay, now this is not one of the two big things. This is another thing. It's very important, though. Take rest days. I know you streak runners. I know you're laughing at me. Those streak runners who run at least 1 mile every single day don't take rest days, but sometimes you really need it and you have to take a rest day. There was a post in a streak group that I visit. The runner had sprained his ankle and it was really bad. It was black and blue and very swollen. I mean, it was the type that you rush to the ER for. Really, it was that bad. I mean, it was balloon size. It was nasty. He was going to wrap it up and go run his daily mile. It's like, seriously, dude? I couldn't believe it. I get wanting to keep your run streak alive. I understand that. I get the passion you have in keeping it going and you're running. I do not get endangering your running for the rest of your life. If you run on an ankle that is seriously damaged, you could damage it so much more that you could never, perhaps you could never run again in your life. Maybe hardly walk. There's a fine line between dedication and obsession and addiction. Gotta watch that. And first, I apologize for the background noise. I pick a quiet time that I think is going to be quiet, and they're doing construction out there or something. I guess it's an emergency. They didn't have any choice. And I do apologize for the background noise. I really, really do. If it's coming across, I am so sorry about that. Okay, there's absolutely nothing wrong with taking a break, taking a daily break. If you take a full day off, I take a full day off from all exercise just because my body needs the rest. If you do as well, that is perfectly fine and there's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't mean I don't do anything in that one day I walk. I stretch, I might do a few other things, do my hip exercises, but there is one day where I won't go on a long walk, I won't do my strength exercises. And when I am back into running, I won't run. I don't run every day. My body needs that rest. That's why I don't do running streaks. I did try a running streak once. I think I went like 24, 25 days. I couldn't go a full month because my body was just tired. Even only doing 1 mile a day just wore my body out. I could not do it. But I also don't like being forced to do something every day. That's not my style. It's like, no, if I have to do something, I'm probably not gonna do it rather than if I want to do something. There's a real difference for me between wanting to do something and having to do something. Running, now this guy running on a severe ankle sprain could lead him to something far worse. It could lead him to never running again. But I just let it go, and as the saying goes, not my monkeys, not my circus. I find I say that a lot off more often these days. Not my monkeys, not my circus. It does make me shake my head, though, a lot. Now, if you're a beginning runner, one of the biggest mistakes beginning runners make is starting to run too fast, too soon. When you're starting out, it takes months to be a runner, to be a great runner, and you shouldn't even do sprinting for the first couple of years. You really shouldn't. When you're starting out, running should be the slower, the better. Don't be in a hurry. Running is one of those sports that takes a long, long time to get the hang of, and it may take weeks to even get in sync. Your body has to get in sync. Your legs have to stop feeling tired all the time. Your lungs have to get into gear so you're not out of breath all the time. And your brain has to get used to your body and your heart, everything has to get into sync, and you have to be strong enough to handle this new running thing that you're doing. Beginning runners just want to be like seasoned vets. Hey, I get it. I did too when I was a beginning runner, and I probably feel that way too when I start over again. But unfortunately, that's a quick way to get injured. Take your time. If you get into our amazing sports, you want to do it for many, many more decades. The other thing that you need to do is make sure you have the best form that you can. You want to have your shoulders back straight. You want to have your head up forward and not looking down on the ground. You'll want to look down on the ground because you want to see your feet. I do this all the time. This is probably the hardest thing for me as I prepare for my return to running. I'm really working hard on my posture. I already don't have the best posture, so I'm improving. It's easier this time around. Before I had my right hip surgery, it was really hard for me to stand up straight. My hip made it so impossible for me to stand up straight. But this time around, it's not as bad, and I am working on standing up straight so that when I get back into running, I can run with really good posture. Having good posture will keep your core stronger, will keep your leg, and in turn, will keep your legs feeling stronger, and you will stay away from many injuries in this way. Now, having the right shoe is extremely important. Now, I know, I understand that there are those minimalist devotees who say it's not important at all. Just put a sandal on. Wear sandals. Okay, whatever. But I don't agree. I remember when I returned to running years and years ago, after a couple year break, when I was ill, when I was suffering from my migraine stuff, I went to a shoe store who knew nothing about selling me the correct shoe, and they sold me a stability shoe. Now, I happen to have high arches. I need neutral shoes. I didn't know the difference at that time, and my feet hurt so bad, and I was really lucky that I didn't hurt my arches because it was the completely wrong shoe for me, and I took them back, and I said, these are wrong, and these don't fit right, and another employee at the store who happened to know what he was doing said, yeah, we sold you the wrong shoe, and they got me the right one. And finally, the neutral shoe, and this is where I found that at the time I really liked Brooks, so I switched to Brooks and stuck with Brooks for many years. And I found out that, yeah, the neutral shoe is what I needed. So when you start out, always get your feet fitted and go to a real running shoe store and a shoe store that has a really good reputation. Have your feet fitted for the proper shoe. This is really important.
We'll be right back.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
Now, having a strong body is also very important. If you're starting out weak, where your whole body is weak, it's not going to be able to support your running for very long. Some people just go run, and while that might be great for them, that usually isn't the best strategy for everyone. Some people are naturally strong and keep themselves fit, but there are those who only run and nothing else, and a lot of times they find out their weaknesses through their runs because they get injured. Then they find out that they have weak quads or weak calves or weak feet or weak core. And that's what happens in injuries. Now, strength training, I've been harping on strength training for years. You can do strength training at the gym or you can do it at home. I've done both. Right now, I don't belong to a gym anymore. I canceled my gym membership because with the payments for my surgery, I just don't have the money for both the gym and paying off my surgery and being able to run races eventually this summer. So it had to give somewhere. But that's all right. I can do body weight workouts at home just as fine as I can do at the gym. I just have to do them differently. I found that I am getting the same benefits as the gym. I just have to, and it fits into my schedule better. I just have to be good about doing them. And it's easy to shrug it off because I'm at home. So I have to be a lot more disciplined with myself. And I'm working on it. Let me tell you. Our glutes and core need to be strong to brace the impact of each footstep. And each footstep is extremely strong. It feels the weight of our body 10 times more than it would be. And I'm going to give you some exercises that you can do, and you can do these right at home. And they're super easy. They don't take long. They'll take you 10, 15 minutes. And what is 10 or 15 minutes out of your day? All right, the first one is donkey kick. Donkey kicks help a lot. You can do them on your own. And what you do is you want to start on all fours, on your knees and your hands. You want to make sure that your knees are under your hips, wrists under your shoulders, and you want to kick up with one leg at a time towards the ceiling. You can do like a set of 10 each, and you can do 3 sets of 10 each, and that should be fine. Now, you can make this more challenging by putting a yoga brick or a book on top of your lower back, and this makes it necessary for you to keep your lower back flatter and teach your body to fire the glutes without arching your back, just like in running. So you have to keep your lower back stable and move with your glutes instead of moving your lower back. And this will help you from getting hurt in your lower back. It's quite a good exercise. You might try it. And wall press. Now this activates the glutes and pelvis, which help power and stabilize while you run. You want to stand with your side next to a wall. You want to bend the knee closest to the wall, 90 degrees, and make contact with the wall. Push the knee into the wall and hold it 20 to 30 seconds. And do this 3 times with each knee. You know, turn around and do it with the other knee. And do that for three different sets for each knee. This increases the strength in entire leg area. And it's not that hard and it doesn't take that long, but it's really, really works. Toe lift, heel drop. Now these I do every day, and you can even do these while you wash the dishes, while you're standing at your desk. If you get up from sitting, you can stand at your desk. You do these. You do these anytime. They're super easy. Waiting in line at the grocery store, people might think you're weird, but you can do it then. People think I'm weird anyway. So what's the difference? This strengthens the calf, ankles, and Achilles tendons. And you should do these before and after each run anyway. It really, really helps stretch out everything. All runners should be doing this. In fact, anyone running and walking, and or walking, I should say, should be doing these. All people should be doing these. It takes no skill or practice. It's super easy, and it really, really helps. You want to stand on both legs and lift up to stand on your toes. When you go back down, lift up on your heels. Just do 3 sets of 10 of each one of those. Now, you can make these more challenging by doing them standing on one leg. That makes it a lot more challenging. You can do those. If you're at the gym, you can also, of course, hold weights, and you can do those if you want. But it doesn't really need the weights. If you do them one-legged, it's pretty challenging, and you give yourself plenty of weight on each foot. And you just do 3 sets of 10, and that should be fine. And you don't really need to do any more than that. That keeps everything all nice and stretched out. Bridge. Now, this is one of the first exercises my physical therapist has had me do as I rehabbed back. I'm quite familiar with them, actually. I do like them. They're not difficult to do, but they really, really help stretch out the hip and glute area. If you're not familiar with them, lay on your back and then bring your knees up with your feet on the ground. You want to bring your feet towards your thighs as much as you can. Then lift up your middle so that it's a slight slope from your knees to your shoulders, with your shoulders and feet still on the ground. So you want to keep it up there, and you want to keep that in a slope. It's straight, but in a slope, for like 30 seconds. That's a beginning bridge. If you want to make it a little bit more challenging, you bring your butt down slowly towards touching the ground, not touching it, but as close as you can, and then do 10 of those slowly. And that makes it a little bit more challenging. you want to make it more challenging, stick out a leg straight and then go up and down 10 times. That makes it much more challenging. You can do that. And I do 10 repeats, repetitions, and 3 sets. Clam shells. Clam shells. Talk, Martha. Clam shells. These strengthen the glutes and improves knee and pelvis stability. Now these you lay on one side and bend the knees. Bring one knee up like a clamshell and slowly bring them back down. These really help, and they seem a little dull, but they do really do good work. And you can do them on their own, or if you want more of a challenge, if you have one of those elastic exercise bands, you can put that on right above your knee, and it'll make it a little bit more challenging for you. And you do 10 repetitions, 3 sets. Planks. Now, you all know what a plank is. I don't have to tell you what that is. And I've nagged you about planks before. Your friends have tried to recruit you in those monthly plank challenges. And I refuse to go on those because they have planks going up to 2 minutes at a time. Now, you don't have to do a plank 2 minutes at a time, because what I learned when I was a personal trainer is that after 1 minute, planks really aren't that effective. So 2 minutes is kind of a waste of time. So it's better to do 3 sets of 1 minute planks. Really, it really does more good that way. So if you do 3 sets of 1 minute planks, you're doing more good. I would rather do that anyway. So you can do a regular set, start with 30 seconds and add on 5 seconds if you want every time you do it up to 1 minute. And then you can do like 3 sets if you want. It's up to you when you start. If you want to do longer than 1 minute, it's up to you, but you're not doing as much good as you think you are. Now, if you want to make it more challenging, try side planks. Oh, side planks are really hard. You're on your side with the elbow down and both feet together, and they are really, really tough. I tell you, those are hard. Super hard. And those are what I'm doing, and it's just difficult. Very difficult. Now, there are sets of exercises that really help out runners. And it's called plyometrics. And you all know what a plyometric exercise is. It's called a burpee. That's a plyometric exercise. Yes, those exercises that they do in Spartan races, yeah, that's a burpee. And we all hate them, but they seem to love them at Spartan. I don't know. I don't do Spartan races, so I wouldn't know. But I just see people doing them. But that's a perfect example of a plyometric exercise. Plyos, or plyometrics, are the type of exercise training that uses speed and force of different movements to build muscle growth. Other plyometric exercises can include the split squat jump, squat jump is also really good. Squat jump is when you scrouch down in a squat and you jump up and squat down and jump up and squat down. Split squat jump is you, 1 foot goes in back and 1 foot goes in front, and you actually go in a squat stance, but then you jump up and you go back down in that squat stance. Tuck jump is when you jump up and you lift your knees up in that jump in a tuck and you go back down. Box jump is when you use a box of whatever length and you jump up on the box. And that actually is, all those are really good for trail running, especially like the box jump or the squat jump. Those are really, really good for trail running, so you can get used to the various movements of trail running. And I'm gonna do a whole different episode on exercises to help you with trail running. I think that would be a really good help. We'll do that in the future. I'll do that at a later date. But those are some examples of exercises that you can do to keep you going and to keep you injury-free. I'm not guaranteeing it will keep you injury-free, but if you do some sort of strength training twice a week, 2 to 3 times a week, It will really help you and really help keep your muscles strong so that it can take the pressure of running, because running is a lot of pressure, especially as you begin and as you increase your miles. You will need to keep your muscles strong and your body strong and everything strong. And I'm sure you want that, and you want to increase your miles and you want to do well. Now, last week was one of my favorite races that I like to watch. I haven't done it, but I love watching it. The Cocodona 250 is its third year, and started 3 years ago as a humble, I won't say little, as a humble, very long race of 250 miles in the northern Arizona deserts and mountains. It's an incredible race, produced by AeroViper Running. And it's just incredible. And it, from the beginning, it was pretty well filmed live, so you could follow it live. It's the only race of its kind in the U.S. that you could follow live. Only trail race, I should say, of its kind that you could follow live. It's just incredible. And over the last couple of years, the camera work has gotten better and better. So this year they covered the whole race from beginning to end, except for a few hours at night where everyone had to take a break and they had to get the cameras all adjusted and everything like that at night. There was a nighttime silence, but that's okay. It's middle of the night. They would start again at 7 in the morning, and that's fine. Everybody's got to get some sleep, right? But it's just so much fun to watch and so interesting that they had commentary and hosts talking about it, and they showed from beginning to end the whole thing. Now, I didn't watch all of it this year. I had a lot of things going on, but I watched as much as I could, and I saw some excellent people finishing. It was a lot of fun. It's just a great, great production. And this year made it really special because they introduced two other distances. They introduced a 125-mile distance that started in Sedona. And then they also introduced a 37K that started at the foot of Mount Eldon, that goes over Mount Eldon and then into Flagstaff. All of the races end in Flagstaff. So I think that's really cool. And it's like, that Flagstaff race looks really neat. I mean, that 37K race looks really neat and makes me wonder if maybe I want to do it. Well, we'll see. I don't know. I'm already thinking about doing a 50-miler in Nevada next year, so I don't know if I can travel there too. I'm not rich. But we'll see. We shall see. It's just a really, really neat event, and I totally suggest that you follow it next year, because it's just incredible. They just do a great job of it, and every year the coverage just gets better and better. And I'll try to remind you of it next year before it starts, just so you can watch it, because it's really cool. Very, very cool. You get just some views of the countryside up there. It's just amazing country. I've never been to that's not true. The farthest I've been in Arizona, Sedona, which is a beautiful, beautiful area, but I've never been up to Flagstaff, so I need to see it. I really need to see it. All right, so that is it, and thank you so much for joining me. So I hope you got some tips and help with being a stronger runner, because my goal is to help all of us stay on the road and the trails and in races longer, because that's what we love. And the website, I'll put some links on the website to help you, and that's MarthaRunsTheWorld.com. And I hope you join me for future episodes. I've got some really cool shows coming up, and until then, let's tie up our shoelaces and go for a run.